The following is a Krishna Katha at Kalya Ghat, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari, recorded on October 30th, 2015, in Vrindavan, India.
So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter number 16, about subduing the Kaliya serpent. So today, and we're at a most holy place of Krishna's transcendental pastimes. This tree here is the exact tree that Krishna was standing on 5,000 years ago when he jumped into the Jamuna. Actually, the other trees had, that time, Kaliya, you can see these steps right here. These steps formerly went down into the Jamuna River. Jamuna River formerly flowed right by here. But now she has moved further away. Several years ago, actually, Jamuna came back here. When it was very rainy, Jamuna came back to this point. At the time, 5,000 years ago, this was not just, there was a huge lake here, actually. And Kaliya had come here to take residence. And Kaliya is a poisonous serpent, so this poison of Kaliya was polluting the Jamuna. Krishna is actually the original ecologist. He cleaned the pollution out of the river here. So we'll read something here. This is text number one. Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, seeing that the Jamuna River had been contaminated by the black snake, Kaliya, desiring to purify the river, and thus the Lord banished him from it. King Parikshit inquired, O learned sage, please explain how the Supreme Personality of Godhead chastised the serpent Kaliya within the unfathomable waters of the Jamuna, and how it was that Kaliya had been living there for so many ages. O Brahmana, the unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead, freely acts according to his own desires. Who could be satiated when hearing the nectar of the magnanimous pastimes he performed as a cowherd boy in Vrindavan?
O Brahmana, aukščiausias Dievo asmuo pilnai veikia pagal savo troškimus.
Shukadev Goswami said, within the river Kalindi, Jamuna was a lake inhabited by a serpent Kaliya, whose fiery poison constantly heated and boiled its waters. Indeed, the vapors thus created were so poisonous that birds flying over the contaminated lake would fall down into it.
Shukadev Goswami said, šitoje upėje, Jamunoje, buvo toksai ežeras, kur gyveno Kaliya, ir jos nuodai taip apnuodėjo šitus vandenis, kad netgi paukščiai, kurie skrido virš upės.
I can make one point that you can make one. Just imagine how poisonous the water was. There are many polluted rivers in the world today. But if we heard any river that's so polluted that a bird flying over it drops dead. So this was the most polluted river we've ever heard about in history. And for the Jamuna to be so polluted is intolerable. Can you imagine the most holy river is the most polluted river? Absolutely intolerable. Therefore, we're going to see what Krishna does to clean up the river. Want to speak something, Dave? Yeah. Huh? Huh?
Okay. You said that the birds, the other verses are also same.
Okay, so The wind blowing over that deadly lake carried droplets of water to the shore. Simply by coming in contact with that poisonous breeze, all vegetation and creatures on the shore died. So this was the only tree. This tree had a special benediction. That's why it didn't die. Lord Krishna saw how the Kaliya serpent had polluted Jamuna River with his terribly powerful poison. Since Krishna had descended from the spiritual world specifically to subdue envious demons, the Lord immediately climbed to the top of the very high Kadamba tree and prepared himself for battle. He tightened his belt, slapped his arms, and he jumped into the poisonous water.
Viešpas Krišna matė, kaip kalijas gyvatė teršia ir būda. Tam, kad jisai tam ir apsireiškė šitame pasaulyje, kad nugalėtų visus...
Just imagine 5,000 years ago...
Šilo kur ide? I don't translate. Krišna nusileido šitą pasaulį tam, kad nužudytų visus demonus. Viešpas taip pat šoko ant Kadambos medžio viršūnės, pasiruošė mūšių. Jisai pasiveržė savo diržą, suplojo rankomis ir šoko į nuodingosius vandenis.
Just imagine 5,000 years ago, Krishna is standing in this tree, flapping his arms, tightening his belt like an actor getting ready to go on the stage. And jumping in to do battle with Kaliya. Okay, Devi, you want to speak something, read some verses now?
When the Supreme Personality of God had landed in the serpent's lake, the snake really became extremely agitated and began breathing heavily, further polluting it with volumes of poisons. The force of the Lord's entrance into the lake caused it to overflow on all sides, and poisonous fearsome waves flooded the surrounding lands up to the distance of 100 bow length. You know what is the bow length?
No.
Bow length is can be depending on the bow length.
And for the those who didn't know, we have to keep the story flowing for those who are listening.
I already told you ahead of time. And the bow length it can be, I do not know how long the bow was there. You know, the bow can be as big as like Lord Ramachandra had it, big one, or Arjuna had it. So which bow length is, so we do not know. I cannot say how long it was. 100 bow length. So 100 bow length can be very, very long, or very, very small also. But child bow length will be small. And the adult that time, so Krishna was a small kid that time. So maybe it is small or big. Krishna can handle everything.
Should I translate that?
Yeah, translate it.
Kad aukščiausias dievo asmuo šoko į ežerą, visos gyvatės labai įsigando ir ėmė pūsti nuodus dar labiau. To šuolio į vandenį jėga buvo tokia didelė, kad vanduo ištiško į visus šonus per 100 lanko šūvio atstumų. Ir tai visiškai nenuostabu, nes aukščiausias dievo asmuo turi nesuvokiamą jėgą.
So he jumped because he jumped and all the waves of Jamuna became so fearful that they overflow on all sides.
Ir visa Jamuna patvino bet visą pusės.
You did, that was text 7 you did?
8.
Oh, you did 8, okay.
You.
I should do text 8. Okay, so now Krishna began sporting. Not only is he jumping in to do battle, but he decides to have some fun when he's jumping in the water. He's sporting around, having a great time, swirling his mighty arms, making the water resound in various ways. Actually, he produced wonderful musical sounds within the water simply by splashing his hands and arms. He was making music in the water with the splashing. He understood that... So Kali is now down there deeper than the water, and he's about, and he's hearing something up there, and he's going, whoa, somebody's trespassing in my lake. And he couldn't tolerate that, so immediately came out. Who's trespassing in my lake, you see?
Philosophy,
go ahead.
You want to finish the story so then I can...
No, we can mix philosophy and the story. It's fine.
Yeah, because it's going to be...
No, we can mix it.
Okay. So, we can understand. Kaliya is within the lake, present within ourselves. The demon and he is poisoning with sense gratification. Poisoning our senses with sense gratification.
Let him translate now. Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Kali is in our heart.
Yes, Kaliya is demon sitting within us also.
Kaliya taip pat yra demonas, kuris yra mūsų širdyje ir mūsų nuodyje, jūsų nepasitenkinimas.
It's always trying to attract us towards with all the poison to kill all our ability to be Krishna conscious also.
Jis visą laiką stengiasi mūsų žmonėti.
The Kaliya of false ego. Yeah.
Galimybė tobulėti dvasiškai.
So this Kaliya in the form of false ego, pride, lust, anger.
We have,
by practicing and bringing Krishna within our heart, then Krishna will dance there and all our poisonous effects will be finished.
Bet jeigu mes praktikuosim, bandysim Krishna atgali širdį gražinti, jį prisimint, tada Krishna šoks ant tos gyvatės ir pribaigs.
So Kaliya is demon. And these demons also represents, there are all doubts and lust and anger, represents our demoniac natures.
Kali yra demonas ir mūsų širdyje, jis irgi taip pat atstovauja visokias abejonės ir kitokios.
Unless we bring in Krishna within ourselves, these demons from our hearts are not going to be killed.
Tol, kol mes Krishnos į savo širdį negrįžinsime, tų demonų niekas nežudys.
As long as we have these demons in our heart, not only one Kaliya, we have so many demons. We have Keshika demon, we have Agasura, we have Vyomasura, and so many demons always pulling us from all the sides.
Mes turime labai daug demonų, kurie pastoja mus tempo į visas puses ir visų jų niekaip nenužudysime, bet Krishnos.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes how all these different demons of Vrindavan are different aspects, represent different aspects of our own demoniac mentality.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur apibūdina, kad kiekvienas šitas demonas atstovauja tam tikrą mūsų mentalitetą demoniškai.
So why we find difficulty in Krishna consciousness? Why somebody go away? Because we have these demons within our mind. So we have to bring Krishna so Krishna can jump in and kill all the demons. Then we can progress in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise it's very difficult.
Todėl mes turime Krishna į savo širdį padėti, kad jis iššoktų ant galvų tų demonų ir tada bus labai paprasta pasiekti.
So that is what I would say. We have to kill the demons.
Aš noriu pasakyti, kad demonus reikia nužudyti.
One demon at a time. Kaliya is making it very poisonous for everybody.
Kaliya labai nuodija visus.
So Kaliya saw that Sri Krishna, who wore yellow silken garments, was very delicate. His attractive body was shining like a glowing white cloud, his chest bearing the mark of Sri Vatsa, his face smiling beautifully, and his feet resembling the whorl of a lotus flower. The Lord was playing fearlessly in the water. Despite his wonderful appearance, the envious Kaliya furiously bit him on the chest and completely enwrapped him in his coils. Translation.
Kaliya pamatė šį Krishna, kuris turėjo geltonus šilko rūbus ir buvo labai delikatus. Jis buvo tokio patrauklaus šviečiančio kūno, kaip baltas debesis. Jo krūtinė turėjo šivatsos ženklą. Jo veidas šypsojosi taip gražiai, o jo pėdos priminė lotoso gėlės.
When the members of the cowherd community
viešpats žaidė be jokios baimės vandenyje, nepaisant nuostabios jo išvaizdos, viešpats Kaliya puolė jį ir apsuko jį savo.
When the members of the cowherd community, you know, the gopis and the gopas, who had accepted Krishna as their dearmost friend, saw him enveloped in the snake's coils, motionless. Krishna was like, wasn't even moving. He was completely wrapped up. It was like he was dead, you see. They were very disturbed. They had offered Krishna everything, their very selves, their families, their wealth, their wives, and all pleasures. At the sight of the Lord in the clutches of the Kaliya snake, their intelligence became deranged by grief, lamentation, and fear, and thus they all fell to the ground. Sanatan Goswami has explained in this connection. Just like when you cut a tree down, it goes. That's how they fell to the ground. The Brijabasis fell to the ground just like trees that had been cut down. And then the cows, the bulls, and the female calves, in great distress, called out piteously to Krishna. Fixing their eyes on him, they stood still in fear, as if ready to cry, but too shocked to shed tears.
This is how we should be calling Krishna, so that Krishna can jump in. The Kaliya is taken over us, then we have to call what? Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Rama! Hare Rama! Rama Rama! Hare Hare!
Shedding the tears, we should call like the cows and calves were doing, so we are human beings. Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Krishna, Krishna.
And
the cows and bulls and calves were calling Krishna with the tears in their eyes. We don't even have the tears. How can we get Krishna within our heart?
Krishna
so
we
have to
karvės, buliai ir su didžiulė baime šaukia Krishnas. Pilnai įsistebėlėdami į jį, jie stovėjo baimėje, pasiruošė verti, bet jie buvo tokie šokiruoti, kad net nesugebėjo verti.
Prabhupada said, when we chant our japa, we should, like a child crying for the mother, that's how we should be chanting our japa.
Prabhupada apibūdina, kad kai mes kartuojame savo japa, mes turime bliauti kaip vaikas mamos šaukės.
Not some... Like these cows and bulls and calves, they are telling us how to do it.
Finished?
Yes.
And then, in this Vrindavan area, there were three types of fearful omens that arose. Those on the earth, those in the sky, and those in the body of living creatures. And all of these three omens announced imminent danger. Sridhar Swami has explained there were disturbing tremors. In the sky, the meteors were falling. In the sky, meteors were falling, shooting stars. The bodies of all the living beings, they were shivering. Just like when your left eye quivers, it's considered to be a bad omen. So all of these omens were announcing imminent danger. So Nanda Maharaj is seeing all these omens. And the cowherd men also are seeing all these bad omens going on, three types of omens. And they're wondering, oh, what happened? Krishna went out herding the cows with Balaram. Now they didn't realize Krishna's great power, that he was God, you see. They thought he was an ordinary boy. They didn't realize there was no problem. Kaliya can't really hurt him. They didn't realize that, you see. This is our darling little boy. And there's all these bad omens. Something horrible must have happened to Krishna. They were in great distress. The omens were so bad, they concluded Krishna has been killed. And they were overwhelmed with grief, lamentation, and fear. Now, just like a cow, you know, thinks of a helpless young calf. All the Brijabasis, the children, the women, the elderly persons, the cowherd men, they were all plunged into an ocean of grief. That Krishna is dead. Where is he? They rushed out to the village. We must find him. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? So, of course, Balaram in the middle of all this, you know. I'll finish this point and you can take over. Balaram just stood there smiling. Because he knows what's going on. Even though he saw all the Brijabasis in distress, he was just standing there smiling. He understood the extraordinary power of his little brother. Okay, now Guru Maharaj is going to give us some points.
So I was just saying that here it is mentioned, somebody said, when we see some bad omens, we think that it is superstition. But these omens are not superstitious. And they do give us warnings that something going to happen. So one has to take precautions. Superstition means that there's something that's made up, belief. She's saying something. It's like something make believe by the old people.
Kai mes matom blogų ženklus, tai galvojam, kad čia kažkoks prietaras tai yra, bet iš tikrųjų jie įspėja mus apie pavojų.
Like we say that eclipse in the moon and it's very inauspicious.
Pavyzdžiui, sakom, kad mėnulio užtemimas labai nepalankus.
Many people think it's just useless. It's just
all
fairy tales.
Čia babučių pasakos.
So, but it's not. Even Yudhishthira Maharaj was seeing these omens, bad omens, when Krishna was left the material world. Maharaj was seeing these bad omens, so he was taking the warning that something has wrong happened.
Čia Nanda Maharajas pamatė visus blogų ženklus ir suprato, kad kažkas negerai dedasi.
But Balaram being them, it's not that they were always well-wisher of Krishna, so they were taking this warning.
Jie kadangi mintėjo visiems Krishna gerą, dėl to labai rimtai priėmė šitus.
So sometimes when we also see there are cats and dogs passing on the wrong side, we should take the warning to us that there is going to something very dangerous or something can happen. So we should become more cautious.
Kartais ir mes pamatom, kad šunis ar katės netinkama pusė praeina per gatvę, tai suprast, kad yra ženklas, kad reikia būti dėmesingesniem.
And I had a question.
Okay. Klausimą.
Question is this. The Jamuna was so polluted and Krishna had not sent away Jamuna, Kaliya yet, not subdued Kaliya yet, but all the Brijabasis were coming. And all the calves and cows were there. They were not dying. They were with the polluted fumes.
Well, we'll see how the story unfolds here to try to answer that question.
Okay.
So then, now they're wondering, where is Krishna? What has happened to him? He must be killed. What's going on? So they went looking and they found his footprints. So now we know we're on his track. They followed his footprints. Where is Krishna? And where did his footprints come? They came right here to the tree. So in great haste they followed that footprint trail and they came here to this spot. And when they came here they saw out in the Kaliya Lake, they saw Krishna within the coils of this black serpent. And they noticed all the cowherd boys who had fallen unconscious on the ground. And all the cows and the calves, they were standing just crying and crying and crying. So the Brijabasis, when they saw this scene, they were overwhelmed with anguish and confusion. They were wondering whether Krishna was dragged in from the shore by did this snake drag him from the shore? Did he jump into the did they jump in? They couldn't understand what was going on. They wanted to know, how did this happen? But the cowherd boys were all unconscious, they couldn't give any report. So it was a very heavy scene, if you can imagine. And now, who's most attached to Krishna? The gopis. And now when the gopis saw that Krishna has been in the grips of the serpent, they just went back in their minds and remembering his wonderful loving friendship. His smiling glances. And all the wonderful sweet talks he had had with them. The gopi girls were burning with great sorrow. And for them, the whole universe became void. Although the elder gopis were feeling just as much distress as Mother Yashoda, who was pouring forth a flood of sorrowful tears, they forcibly had to hold back Mother Yashoda. She must have been wanting to jump into the river to her Krishna. So in this way, it was very heavy scene. So Lord Balaram is seeing Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd men. How they were getting ready to enter into the serpent's lake. To try to save Krishna, you see. But Balaram restrained them. He knows there's no problem. Krishna can handle this. There's no need for the cowherd men to jump into the river. So Sanatana Goswami has given a commentary in this regard. That he checked them by some of them, he just spoke to them and checked them in that way. No problem. Just stay here. But some of them, he had to hold them back physically. And still others, he held them back by casting upon them his potent smiling glance. They were so distraught over this situation. They were all prepared to give up their lives for Krishna, entering into the serpent's lake. So the Lord stayed for some time within the coils of that serpent, imitating the behavior of an ordinary mortal. But when he understood this was causing great distress to the women, the children, and the residents of his village. My beloved Gokula Vasis, they're in great distress. They love me so much. They see me as their only shelter in their goal in life. So as soon as he realized that being bound up in Kali's coils was distressing his beloved Brajavasis, he broke free immediately from the bonds of the Kaliya serpent. So how did he do that? He expanded his body. So the serpent was forced to release him. Now the serpent becomes pretty angry now, you see. He raises his hoods high and he has many, many hoods. He raises the hoods very high and he's breathing very heavily. His nostrils appeared like vessels for cooking poison. And the staring eyes in his face like firebrands. Thus the serpent looked at the Lord with intense anger. He licked his lips with his bifurcated tongues. And he stared at Krishna with a glance full of terrible poisonous fire. Can you imagine somebody whose glance is so fearful the fire jumps out of his eyes? That's how heavy was Kaliya's serpent. Fire came shooting out of his eyes. So Krishna, it didn't scare him at all. He played around him like he just went circles around him as play and fun. Just like Garuda would play with a snake, Krishna started playing with Kaliya. So Krishna's moving around, now Kaliya's moving around trying to bite him. But Krishna, he is known as Nataraj, the king of all the dancers. You can't outdance Krishna. So no matter how skillfully the serpent moved, Krishna always moved more skillfully than the serpent. Thus the snake was defeated by Sri Krishna's transcendental agility. So what happens next? Well, you know what's going on? Krishna has unlimited strength, right? But does Kali have unlimited strength? No. Material strength is limited. And spiritual power is unlimited, you see. So while Krishna is moving around and Kali is moving around, Krishna is getting more and more energy. And Kali's energy is winding down. So now of the weakened Kaliya, Krishna pushes down Kaliya's made shoulders and stands on top of his hoods. So Krishna is the master of all fine arts. He's the greatest singer. He's the greatest painter. And he's also the greatest dancer. So he just began having a great time dancing on the heads of Kaliya, you see. And even there were so many numerous jewels on the serpent's heads. But those heads never became more beautiful than that day when Krishna was dancing on those heads. There's a wonderful statement in the Hari Vansha in this connection. Siddha Shri Krishna Jagaha Svahastana Vibhanaya. Krishna grabbed Kaliya's head with his hand and forced it to bow down. Krishna grabbed his head with his hand and forced Kaliya to offer obeisances. So in this way, the Leela was going on here. So, some amazing thing was going on in the heavenly planets at this time. They could see, in the heavenly planets, they could see this amazing Leela of Krishna that's going on, you see. Some of you are falling asleep right now. So don't sleep. Wake up. You can sleep. You can take a good nap later on after breakfast. But now you got to wake up. Don't miss out the nectar. Otherwise, Kaliya may bite you. All right, we have a limited time here. Okay, we're going to wrap it up quickly now. So anyway, the Gandharvas, the Siddhas, the Sages, and the Charanas, and the wives of the demigods immediately came to the scene. They saw Krishna dancing. So how do we usually dance? We usually dance to music, don't we? Just like in the kirtan, we dance to the music. But Krishna was dancing without any music. So they started playing madangas, panavas, ananakas, and they started making music to go along with the dancing. So in this way, Kali is being defeated, you see. His head began wheeling around. He started vomiting his ghastly, poisonous blood from his mouth and his nostrils. And now he's feeling extreme pain and misery. And even poisonous waste is coming out of his eyes. He would try to raise up one of his heads. Then Krishna would dance on it and subdue it, forcing it to bow down to his foot, with his foot. So the demigods now, they're worshipping Krishna with showers of flowers. Okay, we're almost done. So Kaliya had 1,000 hoods. And Krishna trampled and broke all of them. So the serpent, profusely vomiting blood from his mouth, finally recognized Krishna to be the eternal supreme personality of Godhead, the master of all moving and non-moving beings. And thus, in his mind, Kaliya took shelter of Krishna. And now all of us also, just at this great moment in the history of the Kaliya serpent, he took complete shelter of Krishna. Now we have all been like Kaliyas for millions of lifetimes, defying the supremacy of the Lord. Now just as Kaliya had his moment of self-realization, where he became completely convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we should all now, at this moment, at this auspicious place where Kali had his realization, we should also now fully realize, Jivera Sarupahai Krishnera Nityadas, I am the eternal servant of Krishna. Kick out all the psychic poison. Get rid of all the mental vomit. And be firmly fixed in the pure, absolute conviction, I am the eternal servant of Krishna. So now we'll stop here, and we thank you all very much for coming to this wonderful holy place where Krishna subdued the Kaliya serpent. So now we must all subdue this the serpentine false ego within our hearts. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Krishna subduing Kaliya Leela ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Go to Bhimanandi.